Mr. Burfield, do you have any questions?
Just a few. Mr. Meyer, you made mention to these files that were brought in here about the size of this room. Last time you were in Clearwater, do you know if those still existed?
The last time I was here in Clearwater, I used them.
You used those files?
Sure, I was being briefed here for a mission. I went out of here on mission to go handle another area of the world. All of the data on those organizations resided here. It was used to evaluate the situation so somebody could determine that I had to go in the first place. Somebody didn't just indiscriminately call me from a job of fixing up the flagship Apollo to send me to South Africa to handle a situation. There were a lot of reports that were sifted through, evaluated. The local political scene in South Africa. At the time I went, I left when 20,000 Africans were marching on Johannesburg during the Zuweto riot. I got out of town the day that happened. All right, so the political scene was evaluated, and I was ordered to get my out of there. So it's no accident that those files were there. They were used for the purpose of evaluation church operations.
But these files that we're making reference to, files that are here in Clearwater that cover people all over the United States, possibly all over the world, and they're files that could be used for covert actions, is that correct? Blackmail or whatever you wish to call it.
Anything you want to do with them. That's true. You made a good point. That would be pursuant to the policy of the church at the time.
Whatever the church policy, there's sufficient information in these files to do just about
anything. Understand, the church policy is a very malleable tool. All right, there is a staff of people that have worked under Ron Hubbard and Mary Sue to carry out their intentions, their goals and purposes on a planet-wide basis. Every little treasury secretary in every organization around the world reports at least once a week to a Guardian's Office staff member and a Flag staff member here in Clearwater that is responsible for that area. Here it would be like CS3, Commodore's staff. Commodore's staff means I do this action for L. Ron Hubbard. That's the job. And the assistant for that area evaluates the overall international scene with all the other assistants from various areas to come up with what is called a weekly battle plan. And it's not misnamed either. It is a weekly battle plan of how Scientology is going to be expanded in all of its operations all over the world.
This is just kind of a curious question. Did you ever get your mate's papers?
I have them.
Customs, U.S. Customs?
What's that?
U.S. Coast Guard papers or...
No, I was I am registered as a captain in the Honduran and the Panamanian Merchant Marine.
Do you know, you had mentioned, I call them shell or front or paper companies. Do you know whether or not Church Scientology has any shell or paper companies here in the state of Florida?
At the present time, no. I haven't had anything to do with Clearwater since I left in 76.
Now, I don't mean to sound harsh on this, but what you have told us, you have a tremendous background in Scientology and have given us a lot of facts and figures. And one of the things that Mr. Kolobank just tried to elicit from you, and I'm not sure we got it all from you, is with all of this information and the fact that your family or your child is life at stake and possibly your future is at stake, what would provoke you from coming down here? What caused you to come down here? If I can go a step further...
Howard dies a thousand deaths, and I don't intend to run from Scientology for the rest of my life. We're going to have it out. That's all there is to it. I'm not going to destroy my life. I'm not going to be away from my family. I'm not going to remain away from my daughter because there's some organization that puts out the picture to everybody in it that it's powerful enough to come around and do them in if they don't play ball. And I think it's time for that kind of stuff to stop. I made it through NAM. My life's been blessed since then. All right? I don't have anything to lose except my life. And I've lived a very full life. And I don't intend to spend the rest of it running from Church of Scientology, period.
Okay. story that you have told us sounds like something one of our news media might be able to write if they took the time. And I guess what I'm trying to say to you is it is so fictitious, not fictitious, it is so fantastic.
Incredible.
And incredible. And as Mr. Caldebank just said, bizarre, that unless the people are watching television,
they can't see the forest for the trees.
This story will not get out to the public. How can we get it out to the public?
You guys have just scratched the surface. You haven't even touched any of the good stuff yet. You're just getting to it. And hopefully what's going on here will bring people out of the woodwork that can tell you stories that make my stuff look like small potatoes.
One other question that I have, and then I'll leave you alone because it appears like I'm trying to crucify and chastise you. Did you know what these hearings were about before you came down here?
All I knew was that hearings were being conducted. There were people that I had known in Scientology that were going to be here. And, well, I made my commitment when I agreed to testify for the IRS. Commander Bob Young, who I was in business with at the time, a business outside of Scientology, where we were in business together, was also approached by the IRS. Mr. Young chose to take a trip around the world and become no longer visible to the Church of Scientology, and I had to decide at that time whether I wanted to stay in hiding another 3, 4, 5, 6 years until somebody found out enough about what was going on to give me a running chance. You know, I'm not asking for police protection the rest of my life. I just want a reasonable chance to be able to continue it without having to be looking over my shoulder all the time, worry about whether my daughter's going to get into some kind of trouble in school or whatever. Maybe it's only a possibility, but would you take the possibility with your daughter?
That's not even a good question with my daughter.
Well,
just a couple questions, then I'll leave. You had mentioned possibility of a safe haven or counseling or something like this, and this is one of the questions I'd asked several of the previous witnesses. Where do they feel that they could go, you know, in the city to feel safe? And most of them, the answers that I can recall getting out of them, that mentally they felt they couldn't go anywhere.
Well, they're supposed to feel that way.
So,
I mean, if this is the Mecca for the most advanced technology on the planet for altering a person's life, then where else could you go? And that's the whole point that I'm trying to bring about. You're supposed to be at the only place you can go for help in the whole world, in the universe for that matter. And all the rest of you guys are bad guys. You're just simple, everyday garden variety humanoids. And you haven't got what it takes to do the job. And that is the attitude that Scientologists come here with. You are the enemy. We're the Oriental gentlemen, wobs. I don't think you feel that way, but when I was in Scientology, I treated you like that. And got commendations for it.
I just, one parting comment, and I don't know whether you had it written down or it was off the top of your head there, that, and I couldn't take it down fast enough, and that was that you had trained all of these people to commit these acts, and you were concerned about the people of Clearwater.
The people of Clearwater?
Yes.
I think the people of Clearwater are going to deal with Scientology for a long, long time. How effective you are in it, I don't know. I've tried to give you some suggestions about it. But understand, when I left Scientology, I left 8 years of friendships, people that I love and respect, who I know came into the Church of Scientology with good intentions to do something constructive for mankind, for the communities that exist or that they were a part of, for their friends and their family, and they have been sold down the tubes. I can't talk to people that I dearly love now because they're still in Scientology. If I got anywhere near an organization, I'd have more Guardians Office staff members around me than Carter's has liver pills. They are forbidden to communicate to me. Now, I don't know how long I got to sit and take that kind of crap. I think I'm done with it. I may have to continue on and go through more hearings and stuff like that, but sooner or later, people that I know and love and who in turn love me and respect me that are in the church are going to graduate from Scientology. And if I've done anything to help that along, that's what I'm here for.
Would you, and this is it, would you say that the health, safety, or welfare of the people in Scientology, that their health or their safety or their welfare is at risk or in danger?
Well, they're ill-fed, they're ill-housed, they're ill-clothed, they get horrible dental care, they get horrible care for their children. I have a personal friend, Christopher Penny, that was left in the middle of one of their Scientology drug rundowns, incomplete, and committed suicide a couple weeks before I could get to him in Hawaii. Yvonne Jentz, who is no longer with us, was a very, very close friend of mine. In fact, part of the problem I got into with the flag people was I was trying to go to her office and be in her office. She's dead now because she depended on Scientology technology to cure a tumor. I can't ever talk to that woman again. She's dead because she went to a Scientologist instead of a doctor. That doesn't indicate danger. I don't know what does.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. For
I just have two quickies. You mentioned Marty Greenberg. Does Marty Greenberg keep and maintain an accurate list of the income paid in the organization?
I couldn't answer that question. I don't know the extent of the files that church keeps in L.A. at this point in time. That's been too many years.
But if you cake in all this money and you put it in one big hat, somebody must know what the records are, even though they may not be the records that you and I would recognize the accounting one, the accounting principles.
I'm sorry, I don't...
Somebody must maintain records. Some sort of a records, they may not be recognized standard accounting principles.
Well, all the organizations would have in their treasury bureaus, they would have invoices, their copies of invoices. Remember I told you it was like a five-part form? They would have their copies and stuff. Right? Now, they might be ordered to send all of those copies to Flag, or a mission might come in like it did in the early 60s and change all of those records, or in the late 60s, change those records. I mean, how hard is it to take out a week's worth of invoices and put in another set when you've got $9.50 a week labor cost?
Okay. Within the organization, do you think that they would ever disown Mrs. Hubbard and the other eight or nine they were convicted?
Well... You want my personal...
that's all I can ask you first.
I believe that it depends on how well they've gone about disappearing the money that everybody's suing them for now. In other words, I firmly believe that if it was to the best interest of the top management of Scientology to disconnect Scientology, to disestablish it, to do it in an instant, I don't think for a moment that they would stop operations. You might not have a church in Scientology, but there would be something else. And then again, there have been an awful lot of government agencies for a lot of years trying to nail them down and haven't done a very good job of it. So how long do you think it's going to go on? It's anybody's guess. I know that they've been taking 10% of the organization's income for many, many years and putting it in the Guardian's Defense Fund specifically to handle all this kind of stuff.
Can Scientology exist without deception and fraud?
I don't know how.
As a viable organization.
Because it couldn't compete in the rest of the mental health community.
That's a good answer. One final one. What would you compare this organization to?
Because it couldn't compete in the rest of the mental health community.
That's a good answer. One final one. What would you compare this organization to that
I think you have to realize something. My father operated in the intelligence community. I have told him stories that when I first started getting heavy training, he was shocked at how I was being trained. And we would sit down and go over how those techniques were the same kind. My father did security for the Nuremberg trials, so he's no slouch. You know, he was an intelligence advisor to the Joint Chiefs of Staff of the Pentagon. I have never had any problem asking him a question about whether or not this was an intelligence technique and getting an answer out of him. He wrote some of the training manuals. All right. So you are dealing with an organization that has taken the most effective techniques of all the intelligence services, not only taken those techniques and used them to train their own personnel, but then taking those personnel and put them in those organizations as operatives. I've heard, for instance, Artie Miron brag about people in congressmen's office that called up and reported to the Guardian's office on a daily basis, secretaries and things that were smuggled in. I personally know of a couple of ladies that were from Vermont that were on a senator's line that routinely gave information to the Guardian's office. So they're much more effective in most cases because of the fact that they operate under the illusion of a religion. So you can't touch them.
And we can't talk about that either.
Exactly. That's my point.
That's right. So we are slightly emasculated too. Thank you very much. You're a very bright, articulate man. All right. Well, one quickie. Mr. Hatchett would like to ask you about one something.
Mr. Mayor, I perhaps left this question to the end. As I observed the Fort Harrison operation and see people going back and forth, I don't see what I physically would identify with minorities, you know, in the Church of Scientology in any level, because I only know about the Clearwater operation outside, you know, what I observed. Can you account for this reason in any way? We thought they were streetwise, and we defined that one time.
I know it's true. I was born in Chicago.
All right. All right. Can you respond?
I went to school through. I fought my way through to school through your neighborhood.
All right.
I know what streetwise is.
All right.
Why
I think you're probably quite correct. I don't know of an awful lot of black people or minority people in Scientology. I don't know what statistics are. Certainly over the last 6 years, there were very few when I was involved with the church.
You see, I was thinking about for the low wages, you know. You talk about a labor force. We've been accustomed to that for years and years.
It's rough when you get paid less than unemployment, isn't it?
Right.
We want to thank you.
You just don't go for them, I guess. Make
for,
some money.
Being a good witness and being very articulate and have very engaging personality and very intelligent, and shedding a lot of light on the issue. We have four more witnesses to see in the next 2 hours, so let's take a little quick break, and then we'll come back and run right through it.